ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass, and it is a Taco Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. This is usually where I say that I invented Taco Tuesday, but today there's big news for the Houston Texans. They have traded, not signed, they have traded for Joe Mixon. Conditional seventh-round pick, according to reports. Joe Mixon has 1 year left on his deal. Looks like a cap number of $6.1 million. That stuff is always very vague. He's carrying like an 8.5 number, but the Bengals have to take some of the dead cap. So it's 6.1, but then it's like incentive laden. I think it's a maximum of 6.1. Whatever. Houston Texans trade for Joe Mixon. The first thing I think you have to ask yourself whenever you trade for Joe Mixon, because there's a lot of things that are in play here. You have to talk about the value that it brings on the football field. Mm-hmm. Texans desperate, question mark, about where they're at in the running back situation. But you do have to bring up the baggage when you talk about Joe Mixon. Whether you still put a lot of value into what Joe Mixon did 10 years ago when he punched a lady in the face at an Oklahoma restaurant, she said some bad things and she made physical contact first, or you don't care about it. Maybe you care, maybe you don't. You can't ignore it. You can't sweep it under the rug. A lot of people want to because it's like, hey, you know, this is a difficult conversation. We don't avoid difficult conversations. You see that the Texans have added Joe Mixon, what are things that come into your mind?
Well, the first thing was you and I had talked about him. So at least we weren't completely naive to the situation, and we've had a discussion or two. I think I was more on board with him as the football player than you, but you're right. The next thing you do with your progressions going down the list as you hear this is, well, there's a guy with a checkered past. There's a guy. The first thing I thought about was, well, there's a new sheriff in town now. If you didn't think so before, Cal's daddy would never have made this move. He just wouldn't, because Robert McNair just was not about bringing in anybody that he thought was a bad apple or had ever been one. But that they went out and they got a running back that has the potential and has had a resume to where he might be a really good fit for them. But you start thinking about, did they think it all through? Did they take all this into consideration and go, this is something that's also going to be a bullet point that people are going to bring up? I think that it is so far back in his past that if you are of the belief that everybody deserves a second chance, that there's a path to saying, okay, I'm okay with it because it happened a long time ago. But let's not forget, after that, he had issues with guns, with a kid in his yard, and other things to where this wasn't just an isolated one-time off-the-field event. This dude is not going to be a Boy Scout he's not a Boy Scout overall in his past, so you don't know what he's going to be for you.
Just had a funny image of Joe Mixon, like, doing a bunch of knots and stuff with ropes.
Eagle Scouts are tough.
2014 is when he punched the woman.
Yeah.
The woman apparently said the N-word. She slapped him before he clocked her and knocked her out, and then he immediately stormed out of the establishment. You mentioned the two incidents last year. Now, it's important to note that he was not charged on, well, he was charged, but he wasn't found guilty on either one of these. You had the one where he was charged for aggravated menacing, this was the alleged waving the gun at the woman and saying, you have your face blasted off. Now, Joe Mixon was found not guilty in that. So I don't even know if it's fair to really bring that up. I think it's fair to bring up the fact that he got tried
Something
for
happened.
This. He was charged for this, but he was found not guilty. So I don't know if you can hold that against Joe Mixon. Now there's smoke, there's fire,
right.
The old adage. He was charged for aggravated menacing, where he was alleged to brandish a gun at a woman's face. He was found not guilty in that. Those are the facts. Those are the facts. Everything else is speculation. The one that you're referring to about where there was a teenager shot in his backyard, the story on that was there was kids in the neighborhood playing Nerf wars where they were shooting each other with Nerf guns. It was kind of dark. They couldn't see. Joe Mixon's side of the story was that he's been receiving death threats. It scared them. It jarred them. They were worried. That's their side of the story. Joe Mixon's sister, Joe Mixon's sister's boyfriend, they started to fire shots at the kids. One of the teens got hit in the foot. Joe Mixon was on video holding a gun but not firing a gun. So he wasn't one of the people that were firing the gun here. Now, Joe Mixon's sister was arrested, and Joe Mixon's sister's boyfriend was arrested as well. They also tried to hide the pistol in the car and tried to get away, but the police stopped them. They were seen like picking up gun cases, like bullet casings and things like that too. So those are the two incidents you're referring to. Mm-hmm. Important to note that he was not found guilty.
Charged.
Either one. He was charged in the first one, was not charged in the second one. But he was, he didn't have any criminal, you know, time because of those two. The most heinous thing that he did, obviously, was the 2014 mm-hmm. where he punched a woman. Some people think he was justified to do it because the woman called him the N-word and slapped him. Personally, to me, you walk away from the situation.
Exactly.
You don't lay your hands on a woman.
But that's my, excuse me, but that's where I would say these incidents still happened, right? As a professional, knowing that you are in a position where some people are coming after you, but you're in a position where you have to kind of mind your P's and Q's more, know how to handle your business. And whether it's a kid or not, or the woman situation, like you said, is the worst, but there's multiple instances where you have to try and take the high road every single time because you're gonna pay the price whether you get convicted or not.
Yeah. I mean, you get involved in those situations.
And that's your reputation.
And when there's smoke, there's fire. Now, I do think it is important to talk about the fact, though. Like, he didn't have to serve time for either one, was not guilty in one. The other one, he was never even pressed charges for the shooting at his house. The most egregious thing was the 2014 incident when he was still in school, before he was in the NFL, where he punched a girl. King of Twitch says there's video evidence. We all know there's video evidence. We've all seen the Joe Mixon puncher. Now, you know, the N-word, spit in the face. The woman pushed him first. Here's where I'm at with, because I mean, this has been a dialogue on Twitter and it's been a conversation and all of this. I think that we have trouble separating player from the person in many different ways. And some of, like, and part of who the person is makes that person a favorite of yours. Maybe who that person is makes somebody not a favorite of yours. I was not a huge fan of James Harden. Like, I'm not a huge fan of people that are out in the middle of the night and, you know, they're going to the strip clubs and they're putting that stuff in front of team. I'm not a huge fan of that. Give me a Jose Altuve, who's always charitable. He's always kind. He's always doing in the whatever's in the best interest of the team. I think the same thing with CJ Stroud. Like, CJ Stroud, what is he doing in the middle of the night? He's probably sleeping because he knows he needs a good night's rest for the next day's practice because he's a leader of the football team. So, like, CJ Stroud, like him as the person, makes him a fan favorite. Jose Altuve, like him as a person, makes him a fan favorite. Anybody still like Deshaun Watson? No, because what they do as people influences your fandom for that player. But a lot of times we get so caught up in who they are as a player and who they are as a person that it impacts our judgment on the other thing. Joe Mixon as a football player is a good player. It will argue of like how much he can help this football team going forward, how much he has left in the tank. There is a player conversation that is going to be had about Joe Mixon today. But people get so enamored on who Joe Mixon is as a player that they ignore completely who he is as a person, and they want to sweep that under the rug. It's the same thing the other way. Some people don't like Joe Mixon, and they get so enamored who he is as a person that they want to sweep the fact that he's a really good football player under the rug. And, you know, we're taught in this business, don't have, you know, like soft opinions, don't be on the fence, don't be on the middle. I think this is a spot where you can be on the middle. You can like this for as a football move for the Houston Texans, certainly makes them better, adds a good running back in the room, and not like him as a person. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to sit on the middle. Like the player, don't like the person, like what it means for the Houston Texans, and try to get through next season where maybe you're not like, yeah, Joe Mixon, like Brandon Taubman did in the clubhouse. Yeah, I'm so happy we got Roberto Osuna. Maybe we don't do that about Joe Mixon, but maybe we celebrate the team's success.
Yeah, there are two lines that are going to intersect at some point. There is his off-the-field manner, demeanor, and behavior. There is his on-the-field performance. And as much as people would like to separate the two, they're going to intersect at a certain point. And like I said, once you create your reputation for yourself, no matter how much time has passed, it's still going to follow you around. And it's going to come up whenever you have a situation like this where he's changing. I'm sure the people in Cincinnati were easily able to forget that or at least push it under the rug because they had spent so many years with him and just saw him as an above-average football player for their football team. As he goes to a new situation, it's coming up again. And now, whether he likes it or not, there will be times where he's going to have to defend it or speak about it or be asked about it. But at the same time, everything is all together. That means when those lines intersect, it is all about the player, the person, the fit. When you look at this situation, it's a one-year deal. There's 1 year left on it. You're not on the hook for longer than that. You're going to figure out if he's a fit. I think there was a little panic in the room to say we still don't have a running back. All these running backs are off the board. That's where the big push came from, and we need a guy. And so they got a guy that has a resume, and he's also got a past. So now you have to figure out where do you sit, on the fence, on one side or the other, or are you going to let it play out and see how he acts and how he carries himself now that he's a Texan?
I think it's okay to be on the fence here because, like, I asked a question on Twitter, Farming Engagement, that's what I do, and asking you the question right now, too, 713-780-ESPN, how do you feel about the Joe Mixon trade? Like, he's a part of the Houston Texans now because he does have a checkered past. We just went through the three incidents that he's well-known for, the 2014 one by far the most egregious film of that. People say, well, self-defense. Well, he got spit in the face. Well, he got called the N-word. Okay, does that justify him punching the woman? I mean, that's up for you to decide. That's up for you. That's the decision that you have to make. Now, I think it's okay, though, to be on the fence of, hey, you know, like this, like I have kids. I wouldn't want my kids hanging out with Joe Mixon. Do I want the Joe Mixon talent of what he does at the running back position on the Houston Texans? Yeah, I don't mind that. I think he helps them win football games in 2024.
Well, I think the biggest thing when you say that is, yes, it's okay to sit on the fence and say, I'm going to wait to pass judgment because you know what he's done in college. You know what he did as a football player and as a person in Cincinnati. So it's okay to say, I want to see the fit. I want to see how he acts, how he carries himself, and then how he performs. Because all of that's going to matter to how people are going to form and make their opinions known on having him on the Houston Texans. If he's a good soldier and he comes into the locker room and he says, those days are behind me, and he also is capable of being your starting running back and he's getting yards and doing things, I think a lot of people will think, my hands are clean of this, it's all forgotten, let's go forward. If he's not performing on the field, there's going to be questions, and they're immediately going to be red flags, but why'd you make this move anyway? And if he has any kind of issues off the field, it's going to be, this is not what the old Texans used to do. What are you doing?
Uh-huh.
So you have to be prepared for all of it. But I think it's fair as Texans fans to say, I'm excited about who he could be as a football player, and I'm going to wait and see on the rest.
Bill Lazor was on the Bengals staff in 2017 and 18 as the offense coordinator. He was the quarterback's coach there in 2016. So he had 3 years with Joe Mixon in the locker room. I'm sure they went to Bill Lazor. Hey, like, do you sign off on this? So the fact that Bill Lazor is in that offensive room and is on that coaching staff, I would like to think they asked Bill Lazor, hey, is this something that you would back up? Or at least if we make this trade, can we trust Joe Mixon? I would like to think that they did that. But if you, like, the last time that in Houston sports that there's been I guess you would call it an assault, was Roberto Osuna, and the Astros traded Ken Giles for Roberto Osuna. You had all the fallout from that. Roberto Osuna was a good reliever for the Houston Astros. You had the clubhouse incident, you know, with Brandon Taubman mm-hmm. and Allison Footer. Like, people don't want to talk about that, but it's the fact of the situation. Jeff Luto, if you go back and you read, like, Winning Fixes Everything by Evan Drylich, or however you pronounce his last name, he talks Drylich. About how it was so split in the room on trading for Osuna. And, like, Jeff Luno would go to people and be like, hey, should we trade for Roberto Osuna? And a lot of people are like, no, absolutely not. And Jeff Luno would just flat out ignore him. So I don't know Nick Caserio's stance here. Maybe he didn't want to ask Bill Lazor. Maybe he's like, hey, we don't have a running back. I'm not going to ask Bill Lazor what he thinks. We desperately need a running back. We don't know that. We have no idea.
But if you remember, the other thing that Luno came out with a quote that said was, we did our due diligence. So you would think that if you're doing your due diligence, whether you like it or not, you're going to ask and try to get both sides of the equation. People that have had experiences with him to get a feedback to understand, hey, maybe I don't care what anybody else thinks. This is the guy I think makes my baseball team better. But be at least prepared yourself to realize some of this stuff's going to rear its head or could rear its head regardless because I'm making this decision.
A lot of times, though, your due diligence, you're going to find what you want to find. And if you really want the player, you're not going to find what you don't want to find. So, like, due diligence can just be your normal cliche that you say to the media to make it seem like you did your due diligence. Jeff, like, if you, again, go read that book, Winning Fixes Everything. Jeff Luno asked half, like, everybody in the front office, what you think? The people that told him no, he just kind of ignored them and didn't listen to them and just flat out just didn't, like, ignored what their opinion and their expertise. And there's people that look back at that, hey, we shouldn't have done that. So, like, he did his due diligence, but he ignored what he didn't want to hear.
Sure, but at the same time, even if I'm hell-bent on I'm doing this, I don't care what anybody else thinks, I'm doing this, I want to be prepared for what might be coming my way because I'm doing this. So I would think that he would at least, whether he wanted to hear it or not, whether he listened or not when people were against it, I would think that, especially in a situation like this with Caserio, that he talked to at least enough people that he knows that had contact with him to figure out what he might be signing up for. Because we've seen this happen across sports. We've seen it happen locally We've seen it with the KPJ situation, with things that have happened that have kind of let you know this is something that you're going to have to be prepared for, and then lo and behold, it happened, right? So I think that whether you're going to listen to and agree with or disagree with anybody, that you, it's still in your best interest to get everybody's opinion.
Yeah. Maybe you didn't do that, though. We have no clue. 713-780-ESPN. Are you comfortable with Joe Mixon as a Houston Texan? 713-780-3776, the HRP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Blankers is at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We'll get to the football aspect of this, too. Like, what does Joe Mixon mean for the Houston Texans on the field? A little older in age for the running back position. How much does he have left in the tank? We'll get to all of it. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what month it is? It's March. March is the best time for basketball, at least in my opinion. March is the time where if you don't have a goal in your driveway, you wish you had a goal in your driveway. So act now. Get a goal in your driveway. And if you're going to get a goal in your driveway, do it with Pro Dunk Hoops. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find, unlike anything you'll find in the big box stores. Those are cheap. They're not very good. Get the goals from Pro Dunk. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic, sincere feel. Stainless steel hardware, it's rust proof. You have to do that in Houston. Breakaway rim because it's height adjustable. You can lower it down to 5 feet, raise it all the way up to 10 feet. And it's got that breakaway rim to keep you safe whenever you're throwing down those jams. Also, with their new goal, four, you can raise and lower goals with a drill. That's right. Lightning adjust feature anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of 10 seconds. It's easy. It's fun to do. It's idiot proof for guys like me. Also, their accessories are next level. It gets dark a little bit later now, but LED light kits for night play. You work, kids are in school, only time to play is at 8 o'clock. Well, get these LED light kits so you can play it. 8 o'clock. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, lots more. And you can order everything, including installation online. You don't have to install, which is always a little bit scary. Let the pros from Pro Dunk do all of the installation for you. They'll install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight, perfectly level. You don't do a thing. You stay inside, watch basketball while the pros from Pro Dunk install your Pro Dunk hoop. Call 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
How do you feel about Mixon being a Houston Texan? 713-780-ESPN. There's been a history of domestic violence in this city. Roberto Osuna traded for Ken Giles. And look, has Roberto Osuna pitched in Major League Baseball since he left the Houston Astros?
No, sir.
You're the only team willing to pitch. The Astros are the only team willing to employ him in Major League Baseball. Now, Mixon's been in the league for 10 years. Like, he's been employed. I think that's what makes this much easier for the Houston Texans to take on. Like, Mixon's been in the league for a decade, and, you know, he had some incidents last year, nothing criminally wrong, and is still around. This isn't like you're not the first team taking a flyer on Joe Mixon. I think it helps him out a little bit there. Julio Lugo had a domestic assault, and the Astros cut him the next day.
Yep.
Like, they're okay. Like,
I was in the parking lot after a game at
was
the,
in the
Dome.
Parking lot. I think they had video evidence, right?
They sure
and that's
did.
Why that's why I made it so easy to be like, okay, well, we don't need to wait for the legal system to play out. We see you on our cameras punching your significant other. I can't remember if it was his wife or his girlfriend. I think it was his wife.
I think it was the mother of his child, regardless.
His baby mama. Bill O'Brien was onto something there. So how do you feel with Mixon on the Texans? 1-2-0, 1-2-6-4. Obviously, Mixon is a good running back, but no, it doesn't make me feel comfortable. It makes you feel icky. The first thing I did was go back and watch that video. I know he was a kid, but still, my goodness. Video ain't good.
It is.
I watched the video today, too. And, like, all the people saying, well, self-defense. Okay, like, he's not in danger of his life. Like, he got slapped by a woman. He's a massive man that plays in the NFL. I understand that she said something that triggered him. Gotta walk out. You gotta walk out. Go in the parking lot, yell, leave the situation. 10 years ago, I totally understand. Like, to be very clear, I'm okay with Joe Mixon being on the Texans. I'm okay with Joe Mixon being on the Texans. But I'm also going to have the difficult conversation that people were wanting to sweep under the rug. I posted that on Twitter today, and people were like, oh, you're clickbaiting, engagement farming. No, let's have a real conversation about something that's a difficult conversation to have. Let's not ignore what happened. And fair or not, and I think it is fair, this is something that's going to be Joe Mixon's story forever. Whenever you do like things like this, it's forever going to be linked to your name. You could do everything right for the next 10 years and overcome this and be a great man. Great. Fantastic. That's awesome. More power to you. Because I do believe in second chances. But it's not going away. You can't tell the story of Ray Lewis without talking about that at night in Atlanta, Georgia. You can't tell the story of Ray Rice without him clocking his baby mom, I think it was his wife, in the elevator. You can't tell the story of Mike Vick without talking about the dogs. You can't tell the story of Deshaun Watson without talking about his perverted behavior. O.J. Simpson's on a much grander scale because now you're talking about murder, but that's something that's never going to escape him. You are never going to overcome the actions that you make that are on this level. Like Kobe probably escaped that better than most people.
No question.
But it's still part of his story.
And that was a big deal. That's what I was saying in the first segment. You create your own reputation and your own history. And a lot of those things, no matter how much like social media, you can scrub your history. You can't scrub the history, especially those incidents that were made public, that were spoken about, that were talked about, that were printed about, that you're going to have the rest of your life. You can get another contract. You can get a lot of people like Kobe. Remember, right away, initially, there was the big trial. There was the loss of the Nike contract. There was all this stuff that he lost. In a couple of years, he had it all back and more. And then he continued to get it. But at the end of the day, when people talk about Kobe Bryant, a lot of people are going to point to, no matter how great he was as a player, that was there too.
Tiger Woods. Like Tiger
that's
Woods.
A good one.
I mean, the cheating on the wife, that's something he's like, this is part of your story. And again, you can make every right decision for the last. Like, I think Ray Lewis is a good example of this. Like, Ray Lewis is somebody who people hold in high regard, great man, like God fearing, all of that stuff. Great. Like, he fixed it. He overcame that, you know, night that cost a couple of people their lives. And how much was his involvement there? You know, he wasn't found guilty. I've been listening to a podcast there, too. I don't think that he could have been an accessory.
Ray?
Yeah, but he wasn't the one who
actually did do the actual murder.
Yeah,
he was around. But it was his limousine, and they were his friends and things like that.
Now, I have heard that in Georgia, too. It's like a little bit, like if you're there, though, like they throw the book at you more than other states. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like if you're an accessory, you committed it. It's how bad that they try you there. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Derek, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's going on, Derek?
Yes, and I just want to mix it up a little. And you can't tell the story of ex-Major League Trevor Bauer. You can't tell that story without his history either. I know you guys named a lot of people. But I wanted to make sure, you know, Trevor Bauer is one of them from MLB. But we didn't mention his name. We mentioned what we wanted. But
yeah,
what
we mentioned football players, Derek, and then we mentioned a golfer because my mind went there.
Got you. And you guys control the mic, so the narrative can be swayed. But let me tell you.
The narrative? Hold on, Derek.
Derek, you're not going to go forward with that.
No. Derek, we'll let you speak, but you're not going to come in here and dominate the conversation like you're trying to do. Derek, we'll have a conversation.
Stop and listen, Derek.
This is our show. It's not yours.
Show, Derek. Guys, I couldn't even finish.
No, we're going to let you finish.
Can't make an accusation, Derek, like that.
But
and
what,
then let it...
what narrative okay, are you speaking
you
about?
You guys made an accusation about Ray Lewis and didn't know the whole story.
That's not just true. We didn't make an accusation. He got tried for murder.
No. You were tried but found guilty. But what you, if you go back and listen to what you guys were saying, you said, I don't know if it was him.
We said it wasn't.
No, Derek, we cleared the air and said it wasn't okay, him that actually you. Did the deed.
Okay.
All right, what you got, Derek?
My apologies. Let me finish my scenario. All right, what I was saying is that typically most times, if you, well, it's television, they say art imitates life, or in real life. I mean, let's be honest. And on television, or real life, and I'm not condoning it, and I have a daughter, and yes, I'm African-American. Typically, we don't see on television or real life whether actors, rich, poor people, are in the grocery stores or wherever. We don't see black women slapping a white man. We may see a white woman slap a white man, and he walks away. But what I'm saying, I'm almost finished. We never, ever see that, or hardly ever see it, whether in the movies or not. What we do see, And I'm not condoning. Listen, we can do one, like you say, without the other. And if we're just giving our opinions, and if you come to dispute or my opinion, it's like you still are, your decision is already made, and nobody can tell you where to go, because these are just opinions. So, but back to what I was saying is that just what imitates life. So we always see the white woman. You cannot call an African-American man an N-word, spit on him, or whatever. I don't care if it's a man, woman, dog, or whatever. I don't care what the optics say. And I'm not saying what I would have done. And I'm not condoning anything. Again, when you brought up Kobe Bryant or the other people that were convicted, I don't know if Joe Mixon was convicted either. But we bring it up. Let's just be honest. I've never seen, or they don't even show it in acting, black women slapping a white man or whatever. So what I'm saying is that if it happened and they got video of it, you cannot spit on an African-American man or nobody. But more so, if you spit on the white man or slap him, most of the time it was his wife or girlfriend, you see them in the movie, they turn their head. But you cannot spit or call a black man an N-word.
I agree with that, Derek.
Don't know the outcome.
I agree
of
with
it.
That, Derek. But what do you?
I don't know the outcome of it.
That's the question.
I don't know if
that's
he was
because
right
I agree
or
with
not.
You. Like the woman deserves a lot of criticism too. There's no doubt about it.
Derek, you had your chance. We can go back and forth. Just let him speak once.
I'm curious what you would do.
Okay,
I'm curious.
Yes,
I'm curious what
ahead,
you would do, Derek. Because I agree with you 100%. Like the art, you know, reflecting reality. I agree with that. Like I think that's a great point. And I agree with you on the woman that was on the receiving end of the Joe Mixon punch. Like, you can't call somebody the N-word and be spit on somebody. She should be criticized as well. What would you have done in that situation if you were in the shoes of Joe Mixon?
Thank you. Ask me. And again, I said a lot of times, and let me tell you, a neighbor of mine, because I just said, if you heard me earlier, I don't know what I would have done.
Is it okay to hit her?
No. Let me finish. It's okay to not know at that time, sure. But it's also okay to not agree with what he did.
I agree with that.
I need you to hear both. I need you to hear both, because a lot of people calling in are not going to agree with both, because they're not opinionated. They're personal with it. When you're opinionated, you're saying, I see both sides, and leave it at that. I don't know what I would have done in that situation, but in society, you're not getting slapped or called the N-word because you're not black. That in itself carries a lot of weight, right or wrong. People hear me out. I'm not condoning anything. I'm just saying, we've seen at the Reliance Stadium, we've seen in news where black guys have restrained themselves on SportsCenter or whatever. This guy was in the NFL, whatever, and this guy was at a basketball game. This white lady turning and assaulting him. It was on TikTok and all. And then he got invited to a luxury suite because he restrained himself. You just don't see black women in white men's face. That's bottom line. And that's all I'm saying. So we can't sugarcoat that part of it. We see it on the news all the time.
All right, Derek. Appreciate the call. I think you bring up a lot of good points. Like, I would argue your decision's already made a little bit there. I agree that the woman that was 10 years ago that was on the receiving end of Joe Mixon's right hook should not have done those things.
She was 100%. Wrong. There's no doubt about it. Derek's 100% more right. Than one fault.
And Derek's also 100% right about the way that things can be portrayed. I don't disagree with that at all. And then Derek also mentions that he didn't know what he would do in that situation, which I think is fair. Like, he was livid. He was mad. He lost control of his emotions. I get all of that. But your actions have consequences. And he said he didn't know about the Joe Mixon, if he got, you know, charged or whatever. He was charged with a misdemeanor. He put in an offered plea, which maintained his innocence. I don't know how he could be innocent here. Like, but anyways, he was sentenced to 100 hours of community service, mandatory behavior counseling, whatever. You got to be able to remove yourself from that situation before it gets to that point. And I understand that he had a lot of reasons to be angry, a lot of reasons to be triggered, because what that lady did was not okay, wasn't okay. But two wrongs don't make a right. You can't respond with her being ugly with the right hook across the face.
I can't answer for and attest for the reasons why there's not video of black women doing these things to white men. I'm taking race out of this. And the only thing we were doing in naming the athletes, and we did make it clear that Ray Lewis was not the guy that actually committed the crime of murder.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm just letting you know that when these things happen, there could be more than one at fault. But at the end of the day, it's something that you have to discuss. And from the standpoint of Derek not knowing what he would do, I'm just going to let you know, I've been there. I've had this happen to me. And I can tell you from personal experience, it takes every bit of self-control that you have, but you have to have it. It doesn't matter if you're a football player or an athlete or just an everyday Joe like me. But the bottom line is that you have to be able to have the self-control to understand that you don't hit a woman. It's that simple.
713-780-ESPN. You cool with Joe Mixon on the Texans? What does he mean for the Texans on the football field? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's time, basketball bettors. It's March Mania. Brad, I'm here to tell you about BetUS.com. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS.com. They've been driving to the basket for over 30 years, over three decades. Can you believe that? This year, BetUS has an epic three-pointer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right, the industry's craziest 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. You get a little insurance for that. That's nice. And there's even more. BetUS accepts crypto and is offering a massive 200% crypto sign-up bonus. You got gambler's insurance. Crypto. You don't see that anywhere. March Mania basketball can get even more exciting with their live in-game betting. It's also a blast to check out their casino after the game. Maybe a little blackjack afterwards. How about that? Where you could get a 250% casino bonus. Get started by visiting BetUS.com. That's BetUS.com. Or just give them a call. 1-800-MY-BETUS. 1-800-MY-BETUS to learn all about their bonuses and special offers. BetUS, where the game...
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Someone on Twitter, lost who it was, Timmy, he posted the Josh Hader stuff whenever he had those tweets that were inappropriate. That's part of his story. That's part of Josh Hader's story. Like, that's not going anywhere from him. Like, we kind of ignore it because we want him to pitch well for the Astros. Kind of like the same thing with Joe Mixon. It shouldn't be. Like, it should be brought up. It should be talked about.
Sure.
I don't think you should shy away from uncomfortable conversations. You know, Derek had some points people agree with, some people might not agree with. Okay? Why shy away from an uncomfortable conversation? These are the conversations you need to have with players who have things in their past, whether it's Josh Hader, whether it's Joe Mixon, whether it's Trevor Bauer. And the question is, are you okay with that on your football team? Just Jay on Twitter, he says, as the local Bengals fan, I will say Joe Mixon will make the Houston fans proud. Give him a chance. Pass the past. Great show, guys. I think that's why Bill Lazor's opinion matters here, because he spent 3 years with Joe Mixon. Like, is he standing on the table? Hey, yeah, we don't have to worry about Joe Mixon. We're good. Timmy says, we forgave Mike Tyson. We think Mike Tyson, well, I'm not going to speak for everybody. I think Mike Tyson's entertaining. I think Mike Tyson's a despicable human being. I think he's a terrible human being. So I wouldn't say forgive. We forgave Mike Tyson. You might have. I don't forget the things that he has done in his past. I think he's despicable. Now, he's entertaining, but he's despicable.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I go back to something my mom said when I was a kid, and she said, we forgive, but we never forget. And I think that's what some people do, some people don't. But some people don't forgive, don't forget. But some people also get a skewed side of the equation when they realize that the said person in question has athletic ability, and because they play a sport that you're a big fan of, and they suddenly play for your team, that all could be forgotten. As long as they continue to play well. And that's not fair, that's not right, and that's not the way it should be, but that is what we have seen in a lot of the cases that we brought up. And there are plenty, plenty more. But we were just rattling off some of the most high profile that had happened previously. We're not trying to make this about race. It wasn't a race decision discussion. It's a domestic violence decision.
Yeah.
Or discussion.
9655. The least shocking thing I have heard is that Joel has been slapped in the face by a woman before.
I don't know why that's funny.
I mean, he didn't say funny. He says it's not shocking.
Well, you're chuckling at it, but I'm like, look, if I'm going to keep it real, I'll let you know I've been in the situation. And if you have, as you've grown up, grown up and understand and have values and morals, you understand how to handle the situation. And it doesn't matter how much is in your bank account.
Yeah, I agree with that. Eric the Driver, if you're a good person but a good player, people will forget. I wouldn't say forget. And that's my biggest thing with this. Like, I'm okay with the Texans trading for Joe Mixon. I think it's a huge help with their current state of the running back room. I think it helps that he has spent 10 years in Cincinnati. I think it helps that there hasn't been, an aggravated assault since then. Now, he's had a couple of incidents the last 2 years, mm-hmm. but nothing he was found guilty for or spent time on. So, like, I'm pro trading for Joe Mixon. What I am anti and what I'm against is being like, oh, yeah, his past is totally fine and you shouldn't bring it up. Nuh-uh, absolutely not.
It's all on the table. It all has to be on the table.
Absolutely. 713-780-3776, 9198. The woman called him a bad word, spat on him. Sometimes street justice happens. Go Texans. Like, I read that, and I think that you probably are somebody who hit women. Like, mm-hmm. if you're saying, because now you're justifying it. And if you're justifying hitting a woman, I think that you are capable of hitting a woman.
Yeah, if that's your vernacular, how you do, and that's the message that you're sending, that there's not a lot of reason to believe or doubt that you wouldn't. And that's not the right message to send either. Because really what it comes down to is just the self-control of being able to say, to walk away from the situation and understand you either do or you don't. You either think about doing it or you don't. But the bottom line is you shouldn't do it. No man should hit a woman.
Lamont's bringing up the fact that he was a kid. He was a teen right before he came out of the NFL. I think it is a fair point because, you know, we do – okay, I need to choose my words wisely here. I was going to say we do young and dumb things, but that's something that's more significant than a young and dumb thing. He was probably, what, 21, 22? Like, he was an adult
still
man.
Still in college, but he was probably between the ages of, like, 20.
He was born in 1996.
And it happened in 2014.
So depending on what part of the year he is, he's either 17 or 18.
Okay.
So this was before he'd actually played in college?
That I don't know. I think he was at Oklahoma, or at least enrolled in Oklahoma at the time. I don't know if he played a game.
See, I thought
yet.
It happened after, like,
but he was
closer
born,
to
he
the
was
end.
Born in July of 96, and this incident
I
happened,
say it happened
in
at,
2014.
This happened.
The incident was definitely 2014. He played in the NFL first in 2017.
So this incident was October 2014, so he's 18
yeah,
years
it
old.
It happened before okay. he played his – well, I think he was enrolled. No,
at Oklahoma?
His freshman year was 2015. He might have been a redshirt freshman. He might not have played his redshirt freshman year.
Okay.
That's pretty dang young.
It is.
But it doesn't excuse it. It doesn't excuse it, but does it make you more forgivable?
Well, but that's why when we started the discussion, it's like you paint the situation out to say, hey, look, if this happened so long ago and everybody deserves a second chance, are you willing to give the man a second chance? Or in this case, how much of a man at this point was he? And I think we all make mistakes at different ages. So that's why I think your point was fair to say, if you're on the fence on this one,
sure.
I get it. Because you want to see for yourself how much maturity that you've gained mm-hmm. through your years on the planet.
Now, I think we're past second chance, though. Because this happened 10 years ago and he's played in the NFL for 10 years. So I don't think – he's already gotten a second chance. And I think that he's made the most of his second chance. Like, he had the incidents last year.
I was going to say, the incidents mean – maybe.
But he wasn't charged. He wasn't found guilty for anything. Like, there's a lot of people that think that the little, like, road rage incident where he, like, brandished a gun was a completely made-up story. And I went back and listened to some old news reports and actually, like, testimony from that court. There's a lot of people think that he's getting, like, blackballed in that case by the woman who's trying to create something that wasn't there. Yeah. So, like, I have to, like, if we're, like, I have to at least present that as something that's a plausible option. So I don't think we should look at that case at all. Like, he got found not guilty. Like, I have to respect the judge there or the court there, because it's actually a jury case. So I have to respect that. The incident that happened at his house, he didn't fire any shots. And he legally is a gun. Like, he's a legal gun owner.
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't illegally have guns. So, like, the two incidents last year, like, I'm willing to not even bring up. Like, I think it's fair to not bring them up. Now, I mean, his sister did shoot somebody in his own yard, but he wasn't firing the gun. He's legally allowed to carry guns. And then the other thing he was found not guilty for, and there's a lot of thought that perhaps the woman in the case was trying to, you know, not necessarily blackmail him, but, like, was it extort him in a way? So
yes.
I don't think you can look at those two cases.
No, but at the same time, with a lot of these things, you say the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I think that's why when you look at the Bauer case, there was enough with the cell phone videos and the discussions about what they did and what they went through that you can draw conclusions about Trevor Bauer as a person, whether he was convicted of a crime or not. And a lot of and when you get kind of read into that and read the stories and hear some of that, including his own testimonial and then other people that backed it up, that he might have gotten set up too. But at the same time, there was still behavior. We looked at the Deshaun case for how long of a time here in Houston.
Always, yeah.
And whether we knew all the details or not, you can pretty much draw the conclusion whether he committed a crime or not. He's a pervert.
King of Twitch, these excuses make me sick. Hope you excuse makers don't have daughters. I get that, too. Like, that's somebody's daughter. Like, I get that.
I got two of them, and that's why I'm very passionate about making sure that I protect them, but also the fact that that's why, going back to my personal experience, I also was raised and taught and understood at a very young age what to do, what not to do, as it relates to that specific situation, and never put your hands on a woman.
5993, my viewpoint is I have a full trust in D'Amico Ryan to fully coach this person as a football player and a human being.
So the first part, yes.
I think the world of D'Amico Ryan, so I agree with that. And again, I'm okay with trading for Joe Mixon. I'm going to have an uncomfortable conversation about trading for Joe Mixon, and I probably will always come up in some form or fashion. Now, there's going to be a point sometime on the show where it's going to be strictly football when it comes to Joe Mixon. While I'm okay trading for Joe Mixon, zero tolerance policy. Zero tolerance. Like, if I hear smoke or something comes up, sorry, Joe.
Yeah, you're not on the hook for anything more than this season, and there's probably outs. But at the same time, I'm not okay with that from the standpoint of D'Amico doesn't go home with him every night. D'Amico can't be responsible for what he does when he's not in the facility and not with the team. So that's where you have to put the onus on the individual to be able to understand what to do, what not to do, and how to carry themselves. And at a certain point, because I've had friends in this situation too, where they were supposed to be responsible for grown men that are professional athletes when they left the facility and they went off to do whatever that they wanted to do in their free time. That's not fair, and that's not anybody else's job but the individual, because that's what you're supposed to be as an adult.
713-780-ESPN. Are you okay with the Texans bringing in Joe Mixon? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. This texter saying daughters should be raised to not spit, assault, and call out racial slurs. I agree with you. Does that give somebody the right to then punch you in the face?
No.
If you're a woman, does that give you the right of somebody punching you in the face? I don't think it does.
That's what everybody's missing in all of this. The biggest thing is to have the self-restrain to be able to say, no matter what a woman says to me and how wrong she is, there's a way that you can prove that what she's, and you can point to the fact that she is not carrying herself and acting the way she's supposed to act. But in no way, shape, or form does that justify, because of her actions, that you should put your hands on a female.
Yeah, this text is weird to me, 3726. I think there's a huge difference between domestic violence, which would be assaulting your significant other or a loved one in the home, and just clocking some random disrespectful woman that assaults you. Both assault. They're both hitting a woman.
That sounds like you're okay with hitting women.
Yeah.
I can't take that any other way than you're okay with hitting women.
It's like, okay, it's not a loved one. It's some random person, so I'm allowed to do that. Or the other way.
Look, to football aside, days like today always bring out the worst amongst not just sports fans, but just anyone who has an opinion on the internet or calling into a radio show, not to call out Derek, not saying he was this guy. But it seems like everyone wants to rush to give the examples where this is okay or why an excuse can be made in the situation. Point blank, there is no situation where you can ever hit a woman, period, end of sentence. That's it. And I don't even care if he's 18. At 18, I knew I couldn't hit a woman. I'm assuming Joel and Jeremy, you were the same way. We could survey most of our listeners and the people who work here. They also knew by 17 or 18 that wasn't okay. It does not matter to me that he was 17 or 18.
I have a 10-year-old son. If he laid his hands...
He's 10. He knows.
Right. If he laid his hands on a girl, you know what would happen? What would happen.
But that's the thing. Like, everybody that's saying, because I have daughters, my daughters would never in a million years, and Lamont brought it up too. She said, Joel, for your sake, I hope no female family member of yours ever called a black man the N-word. No, they never have. and from little on and from out of the womb, we were raised correctly, and we were taught what is right, what is wrong, and how to act. And that's the thing. Whether you're going to be a professional athlete or not, and I don't know Joe Mixon's background and who raised him and how he was raised and everything like that, and everybody obviously is different. But at the same time, as it regards to people saying, well, me, one, I know my daughters damn well better not, and I don't think that there's a chance that they ever would do anything like that because of how they were raised. And obviously, I would have a massive issue if they did.
Yeah. I can only imagine what you would do if one of your daughters.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Saeed, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up?
Hey, guys. I enjoyed listening to your show. So for me, no, as a Texans fan, I don't have a problem with us getting Mixon. I think, you know, obviously he did what he did, but it's been about 10 years. He's, I think, shown a record with the Bengals and other stuff since then. I think, you know, he'll bring some talent, some experience. I do want to say one thing. This is based on a caller a couple of callers ago. I don't think anything you guys said was meant to be from a racial angle. I mean, I'm not African American, but I think one thing that may have pushed him into that is, and again, it probably wasn't intentional. But most of the examples you guys gave, whether it was golf or basketball or, you know, Michael Vick, they tended to be all black athletes, and I think it's fine because those are prominent, famous people. But you could just as easily look at really egregious behavior from Big Ben Roethlisberger, multiple incidents. Brett Favre is currently under investigation for stealing COVID money. I mean, there was stuff for Peyton Manning back when he was at the University of Tennessee. There's no cameras, but there were female students who said, you know, an incident happened in the locker room. So I agree with you that maybe these athletes will never, ever, ever be able to get away from it, no matter what they do in their life. But the same should apply to Big Ben and
sure.
Favre and Manning and all of them, too. And, again, I don't think anything racial is meant. I listen to you guys all the time. I don't think y'all meant anything like that. But short of it, yeah, I think Mixon deserves a second chance. It's been 10 years. I think the slap was horrible. But, again, it's been 10 years. I think he's a good value to the team. And I'm going to hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Josh Brown, kicker for the Giants. Like, there you go. Admits a physical, emotional abuse of wife per police documents. Never kicked again in the NFL. Now, he was older whenever it happened. Ben Roethlisberger, another example of that. Now, we didn't pay attention as much to Ben Roethlisberger because he never played in Houston. We do Houston Sports Radio. The Brett Favre stealing COVID money, I think it's a little different. I think it's apples to oranges. Like, it's not physical abuse of a woman. And I also think Joe Mixon has taken advantage of his second chance. Like, he had a second like, Oklahoma gave him the opportunity to play football after that happened. Didn't have any more instances like that. We bring up the incidents he had last year. Neither one of those were, you know, like aggravated assault, was not guilty in one that he was charged for, wasn't charged for another one. So I think that he has done a good job with his second chance. Like, he's still in the league. Cincinnati kept him around for 10 years. The Houston Texans have traded for him today. So to me, his second chance actually was given to him by Oklahoma. If you want to say that Cincinnati gave him his second chance, you can say that Cincinnati gave him his second chance. But he has done, you know, what has been asked of him to stay in the NFL. The Texans employ Bill Lazor, who is with Joe Mixon for 3 years. I have to assume, can't tell you that they did, but I have to assume that Nick Caserio got the opinion of Bill Lazor, hey, can Joe Mixon be trusted in our locker room? And I have to assume that Bill Lazor said yes if the Texans made this trade. Like the texter said, I have full confidence in D'Amico Ryans. I think D'Amico Ryans is the salt of the earth. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a great man. I think he's a fantastic leader. And I think it's why a lot of these free agents and even guys that left, they would love to play for D'Amico Ryans. So I have trust that D'Amico Ryans is going to do what's right for the Houston Texans as well. And I'm okay with the Texans trading for Joe Mixon, but we're going to have the conversation. And if it's me, it's going to be a zero tolerance policy with Joe Mixon while he's here in Houston, probably for the 1 year, because he's got 1 year left on his deal, 27 years old. I have a hard time believing he's going to be here for more than a season.
Yeah, look, I think that you understand the situation. You understand that you're not talking about multiple years and you know, tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, millions of dollars. But at the same time, it is fair to say, it's one thing to say, hey, we're bringing him in. It's another thing to say that I'm going to allow him to do anything that will mess up the reputation of our franchise, our head coach, our entire ownership, everybody, and have a stain on this organization for as much as they have turned it around recently, but overall for any organization. if you're going to take this kind of risk, if you're going to take this kind of risk, one, you have to your point and to the due diligence conversation. If you're willing to take this risk, it's not just about you as being the decision maker. This is about the fact that you are making a decision for a city, for an organization, and that you better be damn sure you do your due diligence. Now, whether you listen to what the other people say or not, that's something that's on you. But at the same time, once you make the commitment, you have to understand what you're risking, what could happen, and then you already should be facilitating in your mind what you have to do and what you're going to do if something does. And in this case, he's got to go. Because yeah. That's when it truly becomes on you. If you are tolerant of it and you permit it to happen and you try to turn the other cheek to it, chances are it could happen again. But at the same time, that's where it comes solely on you, not the organization, not the city, not the teammates, anything else. That is on you because you brought him here.
What does it mean on the football field? Mixon, 27 and a half years old. He'll turn 28 in July, so he'll be 28 years old at the start of next football season. What has he got left? And from a football point of view, how do we feel about this trade? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We're in the month of March. It means that it's basketball season. The madness is about to begin. Lots of tournaments going on right now, as a matter of fact. And this is probably the month more than any other that you're going to want to shoot some hoops. And if you don't have a hoop in your driveway, well, you should. And you should get one from Pro Dunk. Highest quality basketball goals you'll ever find. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic feel. Stainless steel hardware, rust proof. It's height adjustable. You can lower it all the way down to 5, throw down some jams, raise it up to 10, work on your shot. They do have a breakaway rim, too, which is perfect for dunking, perfect for hanging on that rim. It keeps you safe because you're lowering it down. I don't think you can dunk on that 10-foot goal. But also, they have the new basketball goal they have there, Thor. You can raise and lower the goals with a drill. It's easy. It's fun to do. Lightning adjust feature allows you to raise it anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Their accessories are next level, too. LED light kits for night play, backstop nets, pole pad lettering, and lots, lots more. And you can order everything, including professional installation online. Yes, that's right. The pros from Pro Dunk will professionally install your goal, the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do all of the work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, and visit produnk.com. That's produnk.com.